Gospel reading is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and we start reading at verse 5. You'll like to find that on page 5 of the New Testament sections of our Bible. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. They love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you are praying, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then in this way. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us to the time of trial, but rescue us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Christ.
Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We pray now that by your Holy Spirit you would come among us. Show us your truth and strengthen us to live for you in your world. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Would you please be seated? Some things in life we need to learn the hard way. I want to take you back to your first driving lessons and your driving test. That may sort of send shrills down your spine, I'm not quite sure. Here are some statistics for you. 110, the highest number of times the theory test has been failed by one person. 110 times. 36, the highest number of times the driving test has been failed. That's an unnamed 42-year-old man from Stoke-on-Trent. 36 times he has failed. Every year there's 1.5 million driving tests in this country. 830,000 are failed. In other words, there's a pass rate of 46% driving tests in this country. Did you know Albert Einstein never learned to drive, saying it was far too complicated? Other famous people who never learned to drive? Melvin Bragg, David Attenborough, Nick Hornby, and even Sir Andrew Lloyd Webber. You see, we are not born with an innate ability to drive a car. It needs to be learned. We are also not born being able to know how to pray. We need to learn how to pray. As we begin a new sermon series looking at the well-known Lord's Prayer, we need to be humble enough to learn from the Lord Jesus. The Lord's Prayer is so traditional. It's so familiar to us, but I think we often lose the lessons that we can from it. We're going to spend 7 sermons looking at the Lord's Prayer, and hopefully we will discover the value of a treasure that we already own. We do have a great treasure in the Lord's Prayer, and hopefully that will come across to us. Now, you may know that the Lord's Prayer is found in 2 different forms in the Bible, one in Matthew's Gospel, as we have as part of the Sermon on the Mount we had read this morning, and also in Luke's Gospel. Now, Jesus very clearly taught the same sort of material in different places and different times, but the 2 texts are very similar. And in Luke's account, we have a bit of background. One of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say." And then the Lord's Prayer comes. So the prayer is a response to the question, how should we pray? And my prayer this morning is that these principles of the Lord's Prayer will help us as we come to pray as Christians. This is the surest and safest guide to the kingdom of God because it comes from Jesus himself. So first thing we need to think about this morning in our first sermon, our Father in heaven. And it answers the question, to whom should we pray? We can pray to the Spirit, we can pray to Jesus, but it does seem the normal pattern, the normal framework that we pray to our Father in heaven. Now let's remember that the term Father was hugely controversial. It was daring in that Jewish context, as it implied equality with God. And that, of course, is exactly what Jesus said about himself. He said that he was the Son, come down from heaven as the bread of life. John's Gospel, chapter 5, says this. For this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but is even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. You see, the other people around Jesus understood. If Jesus is calling himself Son, and he reckons he has a Father in heaven, he's making himself equal with God. And Jesus is talking about a whole new concept of a relationship with God, a new spiritual way of dealing with God. And the amazing thing is this morning, we too share in this relationship with God. Now, by nature, Jesus as the Son can call God Father. Now, how is it as Christians today we can also call God Father? We can call God Father because we are adopted into the family of God. Isn't that amazing? By faith in the Lord Jesus, by all that he has done on the cross and on the resurrection, we are adopted into the family of God. We're no longer to be treated as servants. We are family. Just imagine for interest you have some building work going on in your house. And you have an electrician or a builder and they start to swear at you. And they don't come on time. And they just loaf around, start using the remote control in your TV, start using things in your kitchen. You might think, this is a little bit of an imposition. You have words with the builder and you tell them to sling their hook. I hope. But what happens if a family member behaves the same way? Chances are you will not treat them in the same way as that builder who's in your house. You will hopefully treat them with a little bit more patience, a little bit more forgiveness, putting it down to family squabbles and the joy of family life. You see, God loves us as sons and daughters, not just as paid servants. We're not given a contract to sign with God. We step out of line and then we're fired. Do you remember the father and the prodigal son? What is he like? Every day he stands on the veranda of his house, staring over the horizon, desperately waiting for his son, his wayward son, to come home. And one day he sees the son, and he girds up his loins, tucks in his cloak, and he runs, very undignified, to meet the son. They kill the fattened calf. They dress him. They feed him and put a gold ring on his finger. You see, there's no recriminations. There's no rebuking. It's a loving father who welcomes his wayward children home. And in Christ alone, we become part of that family and have this amazing privilege of calling God our Father. I wonder what your concept of God is today. Is he a miserly father who really begrudges giving you any good thing? Or is he a loving father who will give everything, even his own son, for you? And this intimacy with God is a great strength of the Christian faith. And we should never be shy or embarrassed about sharing this faith with others. Did you know, for instance, in Islam, there's 99 names for Allah. Not one of them is Father. Let me tell you a story about an Iranian woman. This is a true story called Nadia. She had an abusive father and became disillusioned with Islam. She was seeking after the true God, and eventually she accepted Jesus as Lord. And I quote from Nadia's story. But there was a challenge awaiting me. I had to accept God as my Father. In my mind, Father was not a word of honor towards the God I'd come to know. Mother would have felt like a much better word. But God wanted to reveal himself to me. And he did so with complete patience and gentleness. And as I studied the Bible, I saw the grace and love of the Father. And as I prayed, I felt the attention of the Father. As I worshipped, I felt the embrace of the Father. He healed my past, my present, and my future. He has transformed me. He has even enabled me to truly forgive my earthly father. I used to hate the word father, but today I worship God the Father with great love and compassion. That is the God that is revealed to us in the scriptures. Some of you may have come across the little book. It's called I Dare to Call Him Father. It's a wonderful autobiography by Bilkis Sheikh. And she's a high-placed Pakistani woman who came to faith in Jesus. Let me just leave you a little part of this. She's speaking to a Filipino nun called Dr. Pia Santiago. And this is what this lady says. I am earnestly in search of God, I answered. Whatever happens, I emphasized, I must find God. But I'm confused about your faith. I said, finally, realizing that even as I spoke, I was putting my finger on something important. You seem to make God so, I don't know, personal. But then Dr. Santiago said something that shot through my being like electricity. She leaned closer and took my hand in hers, tears streaming down her cheeks. Talk to him, she said very quietly, as if he were your father. Talk to God as if he was my father? The thought shook my soul in the peculiar way truth has of being at once startling and comforting. I went up to my bedroom to consider all that had been happening. No Muslim, I felt certain, ever thought of Allah as his father. Since childhood, I've been taught that the surest way to know about Allah was to pray 5 times a day and study and think on the Quran. Yet Dr. Santiago's words came to me again. Talk to God. Talk to him as if he was your father. Suddenly, a breakthrough of hope flooded me. Suppose God was like a father. If my earthly father would put aside everything to listen to me, wouldn't my heavenly father? Shaking with excitement, I got out of bed, sank to my knees on the rug, looked up to heaven, and in rich new understanding, called God my father. Around the world today, many people are coming to realize the true nature of who God is, a loving heavenly father that we can know for ourselves. And in passing, did you notice in the Lord's Prayer, it says, Our Father. You see, there's a corporate community dimension to all this. We are together as the family of faith, together reaching out to our Father in heaven. Just think about all those nature documentaries of penguins huddling together in the Arctic to keep warm in the icy blasts. Outside of that sort of woolly protection, if you like, of warmth and protection, they will perish. As simple as that, they need one another. It's also amazing to see that they rotate. The ones on the outside that are bearing the brunt of the icy blasts, they get cold for a little while. They come into the center, then others take their place. I would like to think that our church family of St. Lawrence is like that. Not that we need to huddle together physically, that's not very English, but surely there's got to be some way that we actually share warmth and companionship together. We are not on our own. We follow Christ and believe in him, and we do so together. And the privilege of prayer binds us together in community. It was that wonderful Dutch woman of faith, Corrie ten Boom, who once asked, Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? That's a good question, isn't it? For all of us today, is it our steering wheel or our spare tire? Now, tomorrow evening, we have a parish prayer meeting in the vicarage. Will we come and support that? Will we gather together as the Lord's people and pray to our Father in heaven? On Wednesday morning, 9 o'clock every week, we have a little prayer meeting. Could you come to that? What about a prayer triplet? Let's come together and discover for ourselves the immense joy and privilege it is to pray to our Father. Now, before we finish, I think it's worthwhile mentioning there's some obvious objections to this. First of all, if we're praying to God our Father, is that not unacceptable sexist language today? Can we still pray these words? First of all, we need to understand that God is a spirit. He's not a physical human being like us. He's not literally male or female. But as Christians, we believe in revelation. God has spoken through his words, and he reveals himself through words in the Bible. And in the language of the Bible, God is male. We're not at liberty simply to change it as we feel like it. Don't forget, the ancient world was full of fertility cults with many different types of goddesses. In Babylon, Canaan, Egypt, let alone Greece or Rome. But Israel always said, no, we will not follow that line. We will follow the male language for the one true God. Jesus, God incarnate, was clearly male, and he called God Father. And therefore, deeply entrenched in the Christian faith is this vocabulary of Father and Son. But at the same time, there's also female imagery in the Bible. The church is seen as a bride. Think of Revelation 21. A beautiful bride adorned, and she sees her groom, and the two come together as an illustration of Christ and the church. And it is as the bride of Christ that we attend the wedding feast of the Lamb in heaven. So I just want to encourage us not to simply jettison the language of the Bible today. We can still use the language of Father God and not be ashamed about it. But is the language of Father also a broken image for too many people today? Many of us are deeply grateful for a loving, caring Father who tended us and looked after us as a parent. But sadly, that is not the experience of many. Stories of abuse and neglect by fathers are all too common today, including in the church. And many children simply have never known having a father around as they grow up. The Centre for Social Justice wrote a report a few years ago that revealed in England and Wales, in our cities, there's 236 areas where more than 50% of households have children headed by a lone mother. There's no father on the scene. In one area, Manor Castle Ward of Sheffield, in that area, 75% of families do not have a father. And the report says this: there are men deserts in many parts of our towns and cities, and we urgently need to wake up to what is going wrong. The absence of fathers is linked to higher rates of teenage crime, pregnancy and disadvantage. And the report warns us that the UK is experiencing a tsunami of family breakdown. That is the reality for many people, including people here today. Never known a loving heavenly father. But these bad experiences of life do not mean that the language of father is not applicable to us. In this regard, our Father in heaven can supply what we've always been yearning for, what we've been missing. We do need to be really sensitive when talking about God being our Father today. But it's also a great truth. Let's not get rid of it. We have a loving heavenly Father who loves us so much he sent his Son to die for us. And the Lord's Prayer is a wonderful answer from our Lord Jesus. How should we pray? Maybe we need to look again afresh at these familiar words and be thankful that it begins, Our Father. What a blessing it is. What an encouragement that we pray to the one that we have been adopted into his family through all that Christ has done. May God awaken our spirits, awaken our souls, and see him in a new way. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.